What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Smoke Show podcast on Sikkim365.com. I'm Craig Smoke, and this week I'm talking to former Baylor defensive back Derek Thomas, who joins me now on the phone lines. And Derek, I appreciate your time so much. For the folks out there that have been wondering what you've been up to since you left Baylor last year, what's been going on in your world, and how you doing?
How you doing? Everything's been going good, you know, just life. Was there last year, as we know, last April. You know, just kind of dealing with life and things. Was with the Seahawks for, you know, a bit. Doing really well. Unfortunately, you know, was released for whatever reason. And then after that, went to Pittsburgh, was doing great. And then, you know, life kind of hit sometimes and unfortunately ended up getting hurt. And then, you know, just getting hurt and, you know, things happening. So, you know, just living life.
Yeah, and that's the tough part, right, about the life of a pro football player is the different things that can creep up and get in the way, whether it's injuries or just the business side of it. What has been your experience with just the NFL process, the breaks, the tough ones, the good ones, but what's that been like to actually experience for yourself?
To be honest, it's a lot of what they told us it would be like in terms of, you know, the teachings that we got in college and, you know, from the coaches and things like that. So they prepared us a lot for it. It's not something that we didn't know about or something I didn't know about. Like you said, it's unfortunate, but it's something that, you know, we're very well prepared for, you know, mentally and emotionally, even though it sucks, you never want it to happen. It happens to 100% of us, you know. I think when it comes to, you know, pro football, I say 99% of guys experience getting released, fired, traded, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, it sucks, but it's part of the game. And for me, you know, it just, you know, it was unexpected. Nobody expected it to happen. And then, you know, like I said, just timing. You know, I got hurt early before, you know, any preseason game wasn't able to play. And, you know, it's just timing with me. So, you know, I'll be back, you know, next year doing, you know, my thing. I know who I am. I know where my talent is. You know, I just got nicked up at the wrong time. So, you know, I have to run it back, as they say, again next year. And, you know, I'll be fine. I'll be where I'm supposed to be and everything like that. But it is what it is. It's life. You get a new perspective on things. You see things a little different. And, you know, you learn lessons and it makes you better. So, you know, it's made me better, you know, all around overall. So I'll be back. But, you know, things happen.
No doubt. Derek Thomas here with me on the Smoke Show podcast, Sikkim365.com. Derek, you were brought in as a grad transfer. You elected to come to Baylor to play your final year from Temple, and there was a lot of buzz because people saw your size and they saw your tape and knew that you were going to have a much firmer grasp on what was being asked of the team defensively than, you know, a lot of these younger guys who are still getting acclimated a bit. But after the season wrapped up and you know, you were getting asked questions about, you know, what do you think about the future of this team? I remember standing there and you were very confident in the direction that things were headed and the way things were looking. Derek, here they are. They're 11-1, man, and they're playing for a Big 12 championship on Saturday. You may be certainly less surprised than most people who haven't been around Matt Rhule for as long as you have been, but to see this team at 11-1 and playing for a Big 12 championship, just what goes through your mind? What does that mean to you?
What goes through my mind is I feel like one of those guys who it's like I told you so, like one of those guys who used to just sit back and kind of have the smirk on his face, because I've seen the story before. I remember when I first got there, like I said, it repeats itself. You know, history repeats itself. You've seen it before. And for me, I experienced it. I literally saw everything that, you know, in terms of what people were saying about the university and the players and the guys and the coaches and the situations and how nobody really cared except for the people there. You know, how majority of the people who once were supporters kind of let, you know, just how it all goes. And I remember telling people, I said, listen, I know these coaches, you know, I know how they work. I know what they do. It's bigger than football. You know what I mean? It's they develop young men And to men, and what happens when you get a group of guys like that, and you get coaches, and you get a system like that, it doesn't matter what the situation, because the thing that we're taught there by the coaches and the staff and the academic team, just everything like that, is we're taught that, like I said, we're prepared for life. We're prepared for that. When things get hard, when people aren't with us, when people turn their backs, that's when we get up. That's when we, we turn things around, and that's when just things happen good for us. So I remember when I first went there, and you try not to, read into things. You try not to read into what people are saying, because it'll drive you crazy as a coach, as a player, anything. You know what I mean? You try not to read too much into what people are saying. And I remember when I got there, I used to read into the forums and, the blogs and everything, and people are, these guys are this and that's terrible, and they'll never be the same. And this guy, what is he doing? What is this coach doing? It'll never work. And but people are just bashing. And I remember just sitting there like, listen, I've seen the story before. I'm not worried about it. You give these guys, and I think I actually said, I said a couple of years. I said, listen, you give them a couple of years with the system they're going to put in place. More importantly, the value that they're going to teach them. I said, man, these people are going to be, they're going to be competing for national championships. Give it some time. And, you're crazy, all these things. Not even, 6 months later, a year later, really, we should be 12-0, but, we'll let that one go. We're 11-1. We got another crack at it, going for the Big 12 championship. And it's like, dude, you just sit back with a smirk like, I told you, and you see all those individuals, all those same people, I'm pretty sure, that were bashing and, they're back on the bandwagon, but it's just like, I told you, just have faith, man. That's all it is you sit back, you have faith. But for me, like I said, I saw the story. I seen it. I was in it. So for me, it wasn't a thing of not having faith, It was just listen, man. And it actually happened quicker than I expected it to. So that's my biggest thing, is it's just about the lessons and just, the things we're taught. It's so much bigger than football. So for those guys, I'm so happy. So I'm so happy for some of those guys, like Graylin. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, like it's ridiculous. Like I'm so happy for some of those guys right now and how everything is going. So I knew it was gonna happen. It just happened faster than I thought.
Yeah, and Graylin in particular, I mean, he made the decision, Derek, last year. He'd been battling some injuries, and he had gotten thrown into the fire immediately as a true freshman when he probably should have redshirted. So for them to get that year back for him, I think, is just so huge. But not only is it huge for him to have another year after this, but it's just been huge what he's done this year. I mean, the rash of interceptions, the moments in which they're happening. I mean, was that something that you identified in him pretty early, that he was going to be a playmaker type, or do you see those ball hawking skills?
Yeah, Graylin is somebody that even when I first got there, somebody that, you kind of gravitate to in terms of, everybody is cool. Everybody, enjoys each other. There's no clicky, a lot of teams have cliques and things like that. There, everybody's with everybody. And for me, Graylin was one of, I say Graylin was probably, one of my closest friends, me and another guy, really. But you could tell that when you first got there, he's a football guy. He's tough. He's going to fight through things. He's going to do what he's asked. He has the single, the whole tradition of the single digit. So Graylin is somebody who, he's serious about what he does. He's serious about his craft. And I'm not surprised. It's just, like you said, it's just crazy. It's like, what? Like sometimes I won't have a chance to watch, the game on TV or something like that. And I'll just look on Instagram, and it's like, okay, he had one. So, all right, good job, man. And then he pops up on Twitter. Okay, he got another one. Okay. And then he got another one. And it's like, I think, what is it? It's been like a couple games straight. And it's like, oh, my God. And I think really, the new defense they're playing too really, really fits him. Like the scheme and everything, and it just fits. And like I'll tell him, I'll be like, listen, man, keep going. Like, just keep going. Just keep doing it, because I wish I could have had six picks in that. But no, I'm really happy for him. And a lot of the guys.
Did you see everybody starting to get kind of a firmer grasp? Obviously, you wouldn't have seen him in year number one, but throughout the spring and the summer and the fall, did you see guys, the lights kind of turning on for Phil Snow's defense? Because that was something, obviously, you had the experience in already, and it takes some time, but could you kind of see that maturation process going on while you were there?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of a joke. You know, some guys who played for Phil Snow for years, some guys would say, man, I still don't fully understand Coach Snow stuff, because he could be in his system for 4 years, 5 years, and every year he's throwing something else at you. It's never the same. So it's not like the only people who feel like that are the ones going up against him. It's like, dude, I don't 100% know all his stuff, because every other week and every year we got something new. But that's the great part about it. And for a lot of those guys, once again, it's like a running joke. It's like, dude, you guys are 11-1 now. It was the same guys last year, you know, virtually almost. So it's like, you know, I definitely saw them getting a better grasp of it. And the most important thing about it, really, when it comes to defense, and especially defense where you run so much, you have a multitude of schemes and, you know, checks and things like that, it's just all about being comfortable. Once you get comfortable, it's over with. And, you know, that only comes with time. That only comes with error. That only comes with repeating it over and over again. And I saw that as time goes on, you know. So that's really what it is.
Yeah, and I think there's no doubt that there's a huge comfort level going on. I mean, their numbers this year, Derek, I mean, somebody put up a stat the other day that every single Big 12 team they played this year, they've held under their season average, and that's including, you know, a couple overtime games that they played in too. Yeah. So it's just been incredible to see. What is it about Phil Snow? You know, we get to see him sometimes. We hear from him on occasion, and obviously Matt Rhule, you know, would go to war for the guy. But what is it about Phil Snow for those of you who get to see a different side of him that just makes him so unique, makes him so special, and it just makes him such a great coach?
He cares, to be honest. He really actually cares about the guys. And saying that, you might, you know, say, what do you mean he cares? Doesn't everybody care? No, in terms of, you know, just college football and, you know, the life that we live, you know, once you get to a certain level, everybody doesn't have the same level of care. Coach Snow cares. And when it's very hard to, when you get around of a group of individuals, you know, it's very hard when you get around a group of individuals, a group of kind of young men already, and you can have a feeling that there's another grown man who generally cares for you. So Coach Snow comes across as super genius, you know, mad genius, defensive coordinator, coached everywhere, coached everybody, he's gotten guys to the league and all of these things. But the biggest factor is that he cares. You know, like when he comes across, when he speaks to you, he cares about you. And that's really what it is. Because in football, when you are playing for another individual or a coach that you know, like, you know, like you said, will go, you know, you'll go to bat for and you'll trust and you can have arguments with, and it's not personal, and you can talk to and you can make adjustments with on the fly. And, you know, he can say something very aggressive to you, but you're not taking it in a personal way because you know he cares, because you know what he's talking about. That's what it is. And, you know, how do you get that as a coach? I don't know. Maybe it takes a long time, years of just being around guys and being around the game. But, you know, he cares. That's really what it is. He cares about his guys, and he wants to see his guys do the absolute best. So he's going to tell you the truth. He's going to tell you when he's wrong. Like I remember, you know, through my whole journey after the combine and through the combine, like, you know, we had some conversations, and he cares. So that's really what it is.
And that goes for, I think, a lot of the staff. Matt Rhule's done a great job of keeping all these guys together for the most part, and that's a, you know, a big thing for him moving forward. He said, you know, as long as we can keep this staff together, I feel, you know, great about things. And, you know, Sarabo's been huge, obviously. Phil Snow, obviously. But Matt Rhule is, you know, the head coach when it's all said and done, Derek. And you chose to play at two different places for him. He's starting to get a lot of attention, as I'm sure you've noticed. And that's never going to go away. A highly coveted guy, but a highly respected guy. And when you made the choice to go to Temple, when you were first talking to Matt Rhule, can you kind of take us back through, you know, your first experiences with him and then ultimately the decision to play for him not only once or twice? What is it about Matt Rhule that that so connects with you and that you look at, you know, as far as just the person that he is and the coach that he is?
I mean, like I said, it's just an overall thing of people caring. At the end of the day, you know, if anybody knows me, knows my story, you know, I'm a kid from New York who really was a basketball player and decided, hey, I want to play college football at the last second of my high school career. Coming from New York, I don't even know the percentages of you going to a big time college, you know, on your last year, let alone at all, was, you know, had minds on going to a certain school in the Big Ten. Didn't happen. Coach Rhule was the only school, Temple, literally Coach Rhule recruited me out of high school, out of prep school, I should say, out of every other Division I college, Coach Rhule, you know, was the one, the head coach who recruited me. And I remember going to Temple and he being like, listen, man, you got to be different. You have to be this, you have to be that, because I recruited you, you know, and he treated me like it and he treated everybody like it. And just like I said, and it's not even 100% just about him. It's the whole staff, you know, it's everybody. It's, you know, cause you'll get around a group of guys, you'll get around a staff and one guy, it'll be one guy that has great values, or it'll be one guy that you can go to. It'll be one guy that you have a certain emotion for. It's the whole staff, you know, and that's just really what it was. It was, started off with him. He recruited me personally, treated me like it, held me to a high standard. And, you know, we have a lot of stories we can go back and forth on. But it's the whole staff, man. And, you know, my defensive back coach, you know, Fran Brown, love him to death. He's like blood to me. You know what I mean? So it's a lot about, you know, it's just the whole staff and the values that they teach. And, you know, I wouldn't be where I am now. I wouldn't have the lessons that I have. I wouldn't have the perception on life. I wouldn't have the outlook on things, you know, if it wasn't for that entire staff and how they taught us. So, you know, like I said early on in the video, you know, things happen. Nobody expected it to happen. I damn sure didn't expect it to happen. But because of what I've been taught by all of them, I know that the outcome is going to be better, because I'm built for it, you know, I can never thank them enough for that.
No, that's awesome. Talking with Derek Thomas here on the Smoke Show podcast, Sikkim365.com. You know, they're all about the what's the next mentality, going 1-0 every week, and it's worked out well for them. And, you know, as long as they, you know, adhere to that, then they don't get too overwhelmed by the hype going into a game, although certainly there's going to be a lot of hype for this game coming up on Saturday, Derek. Just the going from week to week and being at 11-1, how much do you think these guys are able to enjoy this in the moment, or how much of this will they reflect back on after the season? Just because, you know, you get to savor that win for 24 hours. They've been able to do that 11 times this year, but then it is on to the very next thing. So as a player, from your perspective, because you've had similar seasons, how do you sort of balance the enjoying it, but also, oh, hey, we still got X, Y, and Z games left?
It's a very quick turnaround. I think most of the enjoyment comes after. You know, it comes after it's all over with, because, like you said, when you're in it, the immediate enjoyment of, okay, we won that game. We got a win streak going on. Now we're, you know, we're climbing the rankings. And with them, how they work, you know, talking about the staff, is great right now. You win the game, go in the locker room, enjoy it. Enjoy the night, you know, be responsible, be safe, take care of your brothers and all those things. But the second you come in that next day, you know, you watch that tape, you know, it's called Tell the Truth Mondays. You watch that tape, you say what you did wrong, you say what you did right, you say what you're going to do better, you take responsibility for it, on to the next. It's in the back of your head. You can't dwell on it, good or bad. You have a great game and you got three interceptions, or you threw for 500 yards, or you caught three touchdowns, whatever it is, gone, out your head, great. You know, enjoy, you know, it's over with, because if you carry that into the next week, if you're on that high horse too high, your emotions are too high off of that game and things like that, it's going to affect you negatively next week because you're thinking about last week. You think about, oh, I just threw for 500 last week. I'm good. This, no, it's out of your head. So for us, it's a very quick turnaround. But it's afterwards, when it's all over with, you're able to really sit back and be like, wow, like we just did all of these things. And you know, you don't really understand at the moment, but that's how it always goes. You know, you might think it like, oh, we're 11-1. Oh, yeah, we're going to the Big 12. Like you're happy, but you don't really understand it until it's done, you know,
right.
Until it's all done with. So, I mean, that's how it works. It's just turnaround is really quick, but they're not going to enjoy it until it's done, until this season is over with and they've done what they're done. And they, you know, but it's special. It's, you know, definitely special.
Tell the Truth Mondays, I've heard them talk about that before, and you just described it perfectly, but how beneficial is that? Just to, rather than have a team where, you know, maybe this group is saying this or what, but just that mm-hmm. openness, that just like, hey, let's just be totally raw with one another, not hold back anything. I mean, I think that's why you see a team that's so close, but I'd also imagine, yeah, like initially getting into that, it's like kind of like, wow, this is different, I guess, for those who maybe haven't experienced,
yeah,
it, but just how beneficial is that?
So, all right. So my example, right, of Tell the Truth Monday is kind of like, you know, just the conversation we've been having. The best successes, right, the things that are most profitable to you, to your team, are things that come out of disaster, they come out of strife, they come out of, you know, just bad things. They come out of uncomfortability. That's when the best things happen, when uncomfortability comes before them. So Tell the Truth Mondays is, like you said, is raw as all hell. It's you go in there and you sit down. It's like you're sitting in a movie. You go in there, you turn all the lights off, nothing else matters, and you're looking at that screen. And you're looking at every detail of the I'm telling you, I've been in Tell the Truth Mondays for, we've had some sessions in the past that are like the entire day. Like, no, we're not doing nothing else, because we got to get this right. And you go in there, and I'm talking about, it's almost like you're a school child, because you know, like, okay, damn it, play 58, I screwed up. I know I did it. Because you know when you do something that you're not supposed to do, or you do something that's just abysmal, and you like play 58, it's play 43. And you waiting for the play to pop up so you can be like, okay, that's my bad, that's my response. You know, you already got it planned out in your head because it's so serious. And you'll get into arguments. You'll get into, you know, nothing will ever get out of control, because, you know, you got to be respectful, but at the same time, you have to be honest, where it's a bunch of grown men that are trying to do the same thing. And like they say, it's on tape, so you can't tell me nothing. So what happens is, and Tell the Truth Mondays, this isn't a thing of, you're not getting bashed. We're not trying to bash you. We're not trying to embarrass you. We're not trying to down you and, oh, look at what he, like, I remember, you know, going back on some stuff, I did some stuff that was like, you know, come on, man. But it's not for that. It's not trying to embarrass. It's not trying to bash. It's trying to sit there and say, you did this. Why did you do this in front of all of your teammates and your coaches? So there's no lying. You know what I mean? It's, why did you do this? What were you thinking in that moment? Right. And as a man, you have to sit there and say why you did it. You know, what was going through your head? What you going to do to change it? How it'll never happen again. You take responsibility for your screw up and you move on. But if you're somebody who goes in there and you're making excuses and, well, you know, I thought I saw the safety come down and it wasn't a good thing. All of the, you know, the BS that happened on a lot of teams, that's where you have your problems. So Tell the Truth Mondays is, like you said, it's raw and uncut. Come in here, you know what you did, and everybody going to see it, and we're going to get it right. And that's what it is. And like you said, like I said, when you come from that, it's just like, man, I'm vulnerable to everybody, to all my brothers. So, you know, everybody's vulnerable together. Everybody's getting screamed on and praised together. So, you know, just learn how to go through it.
Absolutely. Derek, you mentioned Fran Brown. He obviously went back to Temple and they had a pretty good season there. But, Evan Cooper took over the corner spot, and Evan has, been more of the recruiting guy for a while. But getting that position opportunity, obviously a huge deal for him and his career. And the corners have played very well. I mean, you got to see a lot of those guys from Kalen Barnes to Graylin Arnold, even though Graylin's a safety now, Jamison Houston, and their Riley Tejada, there are others. Being around that group of corners, they've done their job this year. What have you seen from that group and just how they've developed?
It's always it's a really cool feeling. I guess it's a really good feeling when you see guys who you were just with 6 months ago, and you just see them doing well. Like I said, it's just a praise to that whole staff, man. Where it's just guys stuff. It's kind of like football. How they say guy goes down, next guy's up, and you step up. And it's like, that's a great opportunity for him, happy for him. And, it's just great to really see everybody doing good, whether they're there, whether they're not, whether they went somewhere else, whether it's great to just see everybody doing good. And, for Coop, we call him Coop, love Coop. I'm glad that he's doing well, and I know he's going to be a great coach. And for the guys, man, like I said, I'm just happy to see the guys doing well, and I'm just happy for them because I know what it means, like I know the end of that story also in terms of certain things. So for the seniors and things like that, like, and going forward, like, I know how big this is for that program and for some guys and things like that. So I'm just happy for everybody.
They played Oklahoma just a couple of weeks ago, and everybody knows what happened there. Had the big first half, and then the second half, the defense was just on the field. I mean, Derek, the entire time, and the offense couldn't really string any drives together. Here they are, they're meeting 2 weeks later, and this is unique. This is not the most unique because Memphis and Cincinnati played last week, and they're playing this week again. So that's really strange, but just having that couple weeks in between games, how do you think that plays into this? How do you think Coach Rule and them are approaching this? Just what are your thoughts on Saturday?
So, all right. So obviously, right, adjustments are going to be made. I'm pretty sure they probably watched that tape more than any tape they've watched this year. And I think that goes for both teams, both sides of the ball. The thing that's hard about when we first played them was that to have a start like that is almost that almost never happens. That's something that's like lightning in a bottle when you have a start against anybody, especially when you're facing another top ranked team in the country. To have a start like that is really, really, really hard and rare. You know what I mean? So it was unfortunate that the second half was, a drop off for whatever reason. So I expect this week, right, to be a different game. I expect this week to be a traditional kind of let's go back and forth. Let's see who's tougher. Let's see who just, none of the tricks, none of the antics. Let's just go down the middle, one on one. This is what I expect, from what I saw from the ending of that game, from the beginning of that game, and just what I expect from it is just like, okay, we're going to watch the tape extensively. We're going to game plan extensively. We know it worked. On both sides of the ball, we know it didn't work. So for me, man, do I think we can win? Do I feel we're gonna win? Yes, absolutely. I think we have the tougher players. I think we got the better mentality. Because at the end of the day, even though I think it's hard to start off like that, that's not luck. That doesn't just happen. That happens because of preparation. That happens because of mentality and execution and things of that nature. But I just think it's gonna be a little harder, so if there's anybody who's just like, okay, we're gonna just come out and run them over again, you got to also respect the people you're going up against, where they like, you got to think they got some pride to themselves too. But I think overall, yes, we are the better team. We have the better athletes and all of those things, and the better coaches and things like that. But I just think this game is going to be a lot tougher from start to finish. But can we beat them? Will we beat them? I think so. Yes, I don't see why not. But we just gotta, evaluate ourselves. Talking about players, we just gotta be able to sit there and be like, when we see it going wrong or when we see something starting to alter, we have to be able to adjust it because I don't know what happened in that second half. I mean, I think I have an idea of stuff, but yeah, so.
But yeah, I
yeah,
think
we should definitely win though.
I think you make a great point about that start. Like that was just so unique for the to get all those turnovers and you know all that stuff. But yeah, I mean that second half, it just they couldn't get off the field. You know, they couldn't get off the field on third downs, or they couldn't stay on the field on third downs with the offense. And so, you know, I feel like if the offense can get a couple drives going, at least give those guys a little bit of a break. I mean, that will help. But then again, you know, the game may not play out that way, like you said, because it was so unique the first time.
It generally never does. It virtually never does. Any level, I don't care if it's high school, college, professional, most of the times, unless yours is absolutely outright, you know, dog better than a team, it virtually never happens like that twice. So when you get that, you know, you gotta hold on to it. But it'll be a good game. It'll be an exciting game. They're going down to Dallas, if I'm correct, right?
Arlington at Cowboy Stadium.
So,
yeah.
So and I'm yeah. So you know, it'll be a big time game. Showtime, put it on. So yeah, I mean, like I said, we have the guys, we have the coaches, we got the schemes. You know, just pull it out. Just pull it out this time.
You've been in games like this before with Coach Rhule and staff. Just kind of take us behind the scenes. Obviously, a lot of the focus is on what you guys do and making sure that you guys play your brand of football and not so much about what Oklahoma does, even though you have to you know, be familiar, obviously. But what's this week like from a player's perspective? Like, is that focus level just at an all-time high? Like, what's the mood around the building? What's it like?
That's what it is. It's very exciting because – okay, you're going to go play for a championship. Everything that you've done, the summer, you know, the summer sucks. You're going through all these things and you're running and it's super hot and you're lifting and you're getting yelled at. And, you know, you're going through all of this. And then the first week starts and you're nervous and you don't know how it's going to go. And you're winning these games and you get to basically what you've been working for. So there's no, like, nervousness. You know, there's none of that. There's no nervousness. There's no uptightness. People walking around too tight. No, those guys are in there. They are super excited. They are super just ready to go. If that's really the best term I can use, they're in there. They're super focused. You don't have to worry about them being focused because they want to be 11-1. Possibly should have been 12-0 if they weren't focused, you know, if they weren't doing what they're supposed to do. So when you get to this point, it's not like they just lose all of that and you know what I mean? So they're focused. They're in there doing their job. They're watching tape. They're talking to the coaches. They're in there late, extra hours doing what they have to do because nothing is more important than this right now. But they are excited. It's the excitement level that drives the rest of it because it's like, dude, we're playing in the Big 12 championship in Arlington. And one of the biggest, most, you know, stadiums in the world on TV, like, they're excited. And that's really the main driving factor is excitement, really, to me. You know, for me, that's what it is. It's just excitement because when I walked into that stadium last year, it was like, dude, like, you just feel this euphoric feeling. Like, am I really standing here right now about to play in this game? You know what I mean? It's like... it's just euphoric and it's excitement. And the second that kickoff go, you just let it go. You let it loose. All the nervousness and not knowing and wondering how you're going to play and all of that, it literally goes out the window and you just, you know, become second nature. So the excitement that's really driving them right now. But trust me, they're focused. They're on the A game. You know, they're practicing well, doing what they're supposed to do.
There is a lot of energy and excitement amongst the fan base as well. And obviously, you know, when you go 11-1, people are going to be juiced up. When you see, you know, how Matt Rhule has built programs along with that staff, and you see some of the players that are stepping up and starting to make plays, and guys that will be around next year, like Charlie has another year, and Grayland will be back.
This
and,
is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to lose some guys. Obviously, Denzel is going to be a big loss, and there's some others. But there's a ton of these young guys that will be – or a ton of these players that will be back. What do you think the outlook is? I mean, obviously, Coach Rhule is always going to be in hot demand, but just let's say things stay the same for a little while. What do you think the outlook is for this group of guys?
Like I said in the past, I think it's going to be you sit back and you just watch and you support because the thing about it is, right, so tell me, why are certain programs always powerhouse programs. It's because what happens is, and because, like, why are certain programs powerhouse programs year after year when they have, okay, this guy is different than this guy last year? Or, you know, you might have a coach in a different position, or, you know, whatever it is. It's because it's a system. It's systematic. And once you plant that seed, once you get that, you know, once you get the roots into the coaches, it goes to the players, the seniors. It trickles down to the juniors, to the sophomores, to the freshmen. And what happens is you have a system where even the freshmen, who you're like, man, we might not see this guy for 3 years, 4 years, 2 years. They're in that system. So when it is their time, you're not losing a beat, you know, because you're treating the freshman or you're treating the second string guy like you're treating the first string guy, or the second string or the third string guy who's coming in is getting the same values and the same rules. And, you know, they're getting the same outlook as the senior or the starter. So when it's their time to play and it's their time to come, they don't miss a beat. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you're going to lose guys, but I guarantee you, they're just going to step right into the role. And that's how you develop kind of a system. You know, that's how you develop one of those programs where it's like, dude, it's a system in here. Mm-hmm. You know, Denzel this year, next year, Taekwon. You know, yeah. Taekwon that year, next year, you know, whoever. You know, Charlie, when he gone, the dude next up. Graylin, when he gone. So it's a system. So it's going to be fine. I'll tell you, like, I've seen it. It's implanted. The seed is planted. So all you got to do is sit back, relax, excuse me, support when we up, support when we down, and just have faith. And the program will be one to remember. I promise you that.
Well, hey, man, I think that's a great spot to leave off. You've already given me plenty of time, and I could talk to you for so much longer, Derek, about just football and life and everything, yeah. Man, I'm telling you. But I think you nailed it right there, and there's a lot of people excited. You know, as you said, kind of starting off, there were some doubters, no doubt, to begin with. There were some downright haters to begin with. Yeah, always. But I think a lot of those people are singing a different tune, and it's been a special run, man. And, hey, you're a big part of helping grow this thing to have an opportunity like they've got coming up on Saturday. And as you said, you know, it's a process and a system, and it's still in many ways just getting started, which I think is as exciting as anything else. But, Derek, I thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Definitely will be giving you a call or shooting you a text here again in the future, you know, depending on what they do here, what bowl game they're going to. Try to holler at you again, man. But thanks so much, and look forward to talking to you again.
No, thank you. I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. There is Derek Thomas, former Baylor defensive back, with me on the Smoke Show podcast, Sikkim365.com.